This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gentlemen, good morning. Sorry if there's some airplane noise. I'm trying to get out of Dodge as quickly as possible.
Why can't they play a lick of defense? I mean, isn't that effort? Isn't that... Are they not held accountable? I got to tell you, I watched that, and it's just like... There's not even an honest effort to play defense.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, let's start with the caveat that obviously won't solve all the woes, but their best individual defender was out of the game in Chris Dunn. Let's start there. Secondly, I'll share an anecdote. You know, when they looked like gangbusters in that preseason opener against the Pelicans and obviously scored a lot of points and had a lot of fun, I got a bunch of emails from fans saying, you know, this team's a playoff team. I don't know why you're being so hard on them, blah, blah, blah. And look, it's one game, but this is what happens when you have a young team. You have nine players who are 24 or younger who are projected to be in the rotation. And young teams typically struggle to guard. And I think you're going to be seeing this all season. I think this is, you know, Chris will help, certainly. Lauri Markkanen is a solid team defender and a good defensive rebounder. He'll help, certainly. But you just have too many players who are struggling with either scheme or effort. And obviously the latter one is unacceptable. The defensive transition issues that plagued them all preseason were rearing their ugly head again last night. So it's going to be a long season. If they win, they're going to have to win with a lot of shootouts, because I don't see this defense ever getting to a top level.
So they score 41 in the first quarter. Portis, I thought, came out strong. He came out looking like a guy with something to prove. Zach LaVine looks smooth. He looks confident. He looks like the guy worth all the money they spent and invested in him. Then what happened, Casey? Why did the offense start to stall? And I guess when you look at the big picture, is this just going to be a product of having, as you said, a young team that's going to be prone to inconsistency?
Yeah, that's, to me, the big run obviously was right after halftime, the 17-0, 19-3 run right out of it in the third quarter, but I actually thought it was a carryover from the second quarter, David, so you nail it. The offense did start to bog down, and that led to another issue that we've seen consistently so far, you know, just through preseason and the one game. When they're struggling offensively, this team seems to then let it carry over to the defensive end, and that's, again, I'm going to be hitting a consistent theme here. That's a sign of a young team. You let offensive woes bog you down defensively. And what I saw the second quarter offensively was, obviously, they went to the bench some, so that was a part of it. And you just saw guys not moving as much. They weren't sharing the ball. Guys were taking shots earlier in the shot clock. You know, that first quarter, obviously, you're not going to be scoring that many points every quarter, but that first quarter was a thing of beauty. I mean, it was beyond the shot making. It was just great ball movement. Zach might have forced a couple heat checks, but, you know, we should allow that, given that he was really the only primary option, and he was hitting basically everything. So the second quarter, to me, is where the game started to turn, because you started to see the offensive issues plagued him on the defensive end, and then that third quarter avalanche came, and it was all over.
What when we talk about Jabari Parker and how they're using him, and I guess when I look at him and his career and where he's at and whether he wants to come back, part of the problem is for him will be keeping voices out of his head. And it's not just him wanting to start, but it is this idea. It used to scare Krause out that off of the local guys, this idea that there were so many people in your ear. And I think he seems like mature enough not to let that get to him. But there is a certain, I don't know if I use the term embarrassment, there's a certain self-awareness when you are at home and everybody you know knows what your situation is and who likes you or doesn't like, whatever it might be. That's an element of this thing that I don't know that we talk enough about.
Right, and I thought it was actually pretty startlingly telling when he admitted to us in the preseason that he had been feeling some anxiousness and some, you know, nervousness about wanting to do well back here in his hometown. That was a pretty big revelation. I mean, you don't usually hear athletes offer that much introspection or, you know, that much vulnerability. And, you know, I haven't been around Jabari a lot. I've found him to be someone who ponders questions pretty thoughtfully, and he tries to be a pretty big, deep thinker. And I will say that yesterday morning at the shoot-around when we talked to him about his role, you know, that now is certainly looking like it's going to be permanent. You did see somebody who was a little bit more accepting and aware of it. You know, he clearly views himself as a starter still, and there was unquestionably frustration and disappointment when the move first happened, but you're starting to see a guy starting to realize and do the math. That, you know, okay, well, I'm already the backup four, and then when Lauri Markkanen comes back, you know, that's, I'm not starting over him. So, you know, if he's not playing three, he's not going to be starting. So you're starting to see a guy who's accepting his role. Now, I didn't think he played very well last night.
No.
I thought he struggled defensively, obviously missed shots early. He got hot kind of late in garbage time. Yeah, they're going to need him to play.
Wouldn't it serve him better to be a backup three? You know, he wouldn't have to take the lead scoring three. You know what I mean? And if he's going to play that position anyway, why not just have him do that to begin with, and that will be his role then moving forward?
Still going to have defensive issues.
Well, of course.
Yeah, and the thing that we can't fully judge or know yet is what Fred's rotation is going to be like when Lauri comes back. I think what you're going to see Fred do a lot is you're going to see him playing small lineups with Portis at five or Markkanen at five, so that Portis and Markkanen can be out there together. I think there is a possibility in that look you could see Parker playing some minutes at three again. For now, that experiment is shelved. So, you know, we can't fully know what Fred's going to do until Lauri gets back. But, you know, they pulled the plug on that pretty early in preseason. They just didn't even consider playing him at three after saying that they were going to be playing him there all summer. So it's been an odd story really from the jump, because he clearly didn't sign that contract to come here to come off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it looks like he's going to be for a while.
Casey, Chris Dunn missed the game with the birth of his child, and I think everyone understands that. He was missed, certainly. Campaign did not play well. He kind of was a guy that was outplayed by his backup, Ryan Archie Diacono. And you tweeted it last night, and I kind of agreed with you. If Archie Diacono is a better fit for this offense, did he earn the right to start if Chris Dunn isn't back on Saturday?
Well, I think what Bulls fans should hope for is it to be a moot point, and Chris Dunn is back. We'll get word, obviously, today, later at practice about his availability. You know, if you look back at Payne's minutes, he had five assists, one turnover. He actually does, you know, people don't want to hear that because he is a convenient punching bag, but he is probably one of the best at what Fred loves, and that's throwing the ball ahead as a point guard, getting the ball court quickly. So, you know, other than he was 0 for 4 from the floor, he's shot very, very poorly in the preseason. You know, if you just take a step back, maybe he wasn't as bad as the convenient punching bag wants him to be. To me, though, he was pretty invisible. He just didn't stand out in any regard. And Archie Diacono, when he comes in, you notice he's there. He's annoying. He's aggressive. He gets up under people. He's pretty comfortable taking that three-point shot. He knocked down a couple last night. Look, he's a fringe NBA player, Ryan Archie Diacono. I'm not overstating who he is or what he is, but, you know, the depth at point guard was an issue we were hammering all preseason, and it really, to me, played itself out pretty poignantly last night with Dunn out. I think it's going to be a difficult position, and underscores how important it is for Dunn, who has been injury prone, to stay healthy this season.
Were there positives? Zach LaVine with the 30 points, Bobby Portis 20 and 11. I mean, are those, do we look at that as kind of, you know, the game broke down fairly early?
I'd go pretty heavily on, yeah, LaVine as a huge positive. I thought he was spectacular. And, you know, he had five turnovers. A couple of those were him just trying to do too much, thread the ball into tight spaces. You're going to give him that, given that he was really, other than Portis, the only viable offensive option. Blakeney obviously comes in and does what he does late, mostly in garbage time. But LaVine, I thought that was a just breathtaking first quarter by him. He, you know, he said it all preseason. You know, I'm back to feeling how I felt pre-ACL, and that's not insignificant. And the way he just played fluidly and athletically, aggressively, and I didn't think he really forced many shots except those couple heat checks in the first quarter that I alluded to earlier. So I thought he was a huge positive. I'd also go a small positive to Wendell Carter Jr. just because even though he was overwhelmed, obviously, at times by Embiid, he did not show any signs of backing down from that. When he got back in there in the third quarter, he had that lefty move along the baseline. He stayed aggressive. He didn't let the initial overwhelming experience in that first quarter phase in the rest of the way. And then just for his post-game comments to us, he was very borderline defiant, respectful of Embiid, but, you know, saying, I'm gonna learn from this. So I'd go a small positive for Carter as well. I just really like this kid's attitude.
Casey, before we let you go, maybe you need to pay closer attention, but I did not expect to see Antonio Blakeney play the six-man role, and then he ends up with 15 points. So I guess I would maybe add him to one of the positives that I didn't expect to see.
Well, also made me look like an idiot, which isn't that hard to do because, you know, I'm not just a score guy. I'm nationwide. I was on a Boise, Idaho radio station yesterday. Don't want to brag or anything. So, and I talked about you know, the opportunity being there for Chandler because, you know, with Denzel out, he's probably the backup three, and I see him making his NBA debut last night, which technically I got correct, but it did come in garbage time. I didn't see that coming at all, and it was Fred going to a three-guard lineup. I thought for sure he'd throw Hutchinson out there just to get his feet wet. And especially because the Sixers are a big lineup, and obviously Hutchinson offers positional size. So that does not bode well. I mean, you know, what we heard is that this is a four-year college player who's NBA ready. And I know he's looked a little bit, you know, undistinguishable in the preseason. He's kind of been invisible at times. But and the fact he's not playing in the first game and already out of the rotation with a gift wrap opportunity with Valentine on the sideline, that doesn't speak too well for being a four-year college player who's NBA ready. So that was a surprise. Blakeney did what he does. He scored. Home opener tomorrow. Tune in, won't you?
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks,
have
Casey.
A safe flight home.
Safe travels.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take it easy.
That's Casey Johnson at the Philly airport. What are you doing? Is that the airport?
That's his flight. He's taking off.
They can go now.
Now they can go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.